Today's episode of the podcast is sponsored by Clean Cut Meals. Clean Cut Meals offer a professional meal prep service and have various plans to suit all different needs and levels of fitness, whether you're starting your fitness journey, prepping for a show or a shoot, or play high-level sport. Clean Cut Meals are freaking awesome. I use them for the entire preparation from Marathon to Sabla last April and have been using them ever since. They're just absolutely killer for saving time. Their food is awesome and tasty. I've completely gone off script, but I love the service they provide, and there's someone I'm going to be using for a long time in the future. The guys deliver nationally, so no matter where you are in the country, they can deliver. If you want to get on board and spend the time that you save shopping, prepping, cooking, and cleaning on the other things that you love, just visit www.cleancutmeals.ie to make an order, or if you have any questions, drop the guys an email, info@cleancutmeals.ie. I'm pretty sure that is on the website, cleancutmeals.ie as well, so you can just put them into Google, search them. The links are on my social medias. The guys are absolutely awesome. Also, you can use the code BKF at the checkout to get 20% off your first order. Definitely recommend checking them out, guys. Not too many meal prep services that I can recommend and put my name to, so cannot recommend Clean Cut Meals enough. So BKF at the checkout, 20% off your first order. Regardless, go check them out on www.cleancutmeals.ie. And now, ready for today's episode. I hope you enjoy it.
You're listening to the Brian Keane Fitness Podcast, where Irish fitness entrepreneur Brian Keane answers your questions and interviews leaders in the world of fitness, health, mindset, and natural wellness. Come join the fun.
Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of the Brian Keane Fitness Podcast, where we talk everything fitness, nutrition, and mindset to help you with your goals. Today's episode is going to be a little bit of a different one. So I normally cover topics on fitness, nutrition, training, mindset, or I try and deconstruct the things that make other people successful with some of the guests that I've had on. So I'm going to take a little bit of a different turn of direction for today's episode and make it a bit more business related. So I've titled the episode, or in and around the idea of how to run a successful business, how to run a successful personal training business, or how to run a successful online business. So I'm going to jump back and forth, and hopefully, even if you're not in the fitness industry or you're working a normal 9-to-5 yourself, you'll still hopefully get a lot of value from today's episode. I'm a big believer in how you do anything is how you do everything. And one of the reasons that I love fitness so much, and one of the reasons that I love business so much, and they're probably my two main passions in life, because there's so much overlap, there's so much correlation, there's so much things that benefit you in one that translate into the other. And I've been very, very fortunate over the last 4 or 5 years with the way my business has gone, but I attribute a lot of my success, and again, success is whatever success means for you. Very important to understand what that metric is, and I'll speak on that later. And for me, running a successful business has came largely in part to the fact that a lot of the things that made me successful in fitness and training, and when I was playing, you know, GA, when I was traveling the world as a fitness model, when I was competing in bodybuilding, a lot of those characteristics and self-disciplines that you build cross over directly into business. So hopefully anybody listening will, if you're working in the fitness industry as a personal trainer, or you're wondering about moving online, or you're someone who'd love to do a side hustle and something to do with fitness, I know there's a lot of you listening who work regular jobs, but you'd love something in fitness, either as a side personal trainer where you're earning a little bit of extra income, or you're running an online business where you just have a little bit of a side earner. And the truth is, a lot of my business came from the fact that this was my side hustle for a long time. My personal training business was my side hustle. I worked full time as a primary school teacher, and I set up a personal training business on the side, and then basically made the change when I started making more money personal training than I was in school as working as a teacher. I made the transition over full time. It took 3 attempts, so I'll get in and out of that in today's episode. I haven't really written any points down. This is going to be a free flow. As I said, business is a massive passion of mine. Outside of fitness, I love the psychology of the way the mind works and the way that people work. And again, alongside fitness and the mindset of why we do what we do, business is right up there with something that I'm very, very passionate about. So hopefully I'll be able to provide a lot of value to those of you who are in the fitness industry, working as personal trainers, those of you who are in business in general and are wondering about either how to serve your clients or customers better or move online. So you've got a automated revenue stream coming in, a passive revenue stream where you don't do a lot of work, but you earn a lot of money on the back end. Or for those of you who are just kind of curious about potentially starting a side hustle where you have a business in the evening and you work your regular 9 to 5 and then you've got your hour or two that you spend each day on your side hustle. So hopefully it'll provide a lot of value, and I'm looking forward to this one because I love these free flow episodes because I never know what direction they're going to go in beforehand. And so I hope you get a lot of value from it. So before I go into the steps and questions to ask yourself about running a successful business, I'm just going to give you kind of a brief background to my story. I know some of you know it, and some of you are first-time listeners, and some of you may not have heard any of my business background. I've only done probably 4 episodes on the podcast that are business-related. So if you're in the fitness industry, be sure to check those ones out. I did a 2-part episode with the Instagram competition winner. Trays came up to interview me after winning the competition when my book, The Fitness Mindset, came out. So there's a 2-part episode there. She was making the transition from becoming a full-time accountant into becoming a personal trainer. So there's a lot of value there for anybody who's working a job right now and is considering switching into fitness, because that was my path. Is exactly what I did. There's a lot of value there for anyone that's in that space. I also did another episode, the business show, or the business episode, where there was questions sent in from a Leaving Cert student. So anybody that's in Leaving Cert or college that is considering moving into fitness, that's another episode I would 100% listen to, because I kind of talked on it from that side of things, how to go about getting qualified correctly, what way to set up going through the traditional education system versus self-learning. So hopefully you get a lot on that. I'll link all these in the show notes on the website as well at briankeenfitness.com. And then the last one was with Paul Germody. So Paul came through my mentorship program. It was episode, I think, 151. It was a recent one. And we spoke about getting off the ground first. So starting a personal training business, working as a side hustle, and then going full time into it. And now he's making the transition. He's actually living in Barcelona at the minute. He's moved his business online and is living in Barcelona for the next 4 months, and isn't doing one-to-one sessions. It's all online. So we talked a lot about that. So the reason that I wanted to link that up at the beginning of this episode is it kind of covers the life cycle of where you may be at. So the episode with Trays was if you're already 24, 25, 34, 35, and you're working a normal job and you want to make the switch into fitness, that 2-part episode will cover that. The business show or the business episode titled, I can't remember what number it was now, but covers anybody that's in secondary school or college that's considering making personal training or fitness their full-time career. And in the episode with Paul is anyone that's already working as a personal trainer and is wondering how to scale up and how to move things to the next level or transition online, and basically go from that zero income to 5 figures and then potentially from 5 figures to 6 figures and the kind of things that you need to do in order to do that. So I just wanted to link those at the beginning of today's episode. Again, they'll be in the show notes, because I'm going to jump back and forth making reference to parts of those episodes today, and then some new stuff that will hopefully land and resonate to help you move your business to the next level or help you transition in if it's something that you're considering doing in the near future. So the first thing I'm going to cover is, regardless of what place you're at in your business life cycle, so whether you're just considering moving into business for the first time or you are working as a side hustle where you've got, I'm going to use fitness as the base industry that I use for today's example, even though I work with people in different businesses, particularly the marketing side. That's my background. I have an honors degree in business. Before I was a primary school teacher, my background is in business. And I work with a lot of different businesses, but I'm going to use fitness primarily as today's background just because it doubles over very well as a service business and it doubles over as a product business for people that are online. And it also, the online opportunity that it presents, particularly consulting or doing online training with people. So I'm going to use that as today's episode's reference when I'm speaking on a business. But again, this applies regardless of what your industry is. So feel free to tell your friends or tag them to check this episode out, because running a successful business is nearly irrelevant the industry, because a lot of there's overlapping success criteria covers and spans across different industries. So the first thing to ask yourself, regardless of your life cycle, where you're at with your business, is who's your audience and where are they? And as simple as this question sounds, it's one of the first things I do with people that come through my mentorship program. And generally, I do a 2-hour onboarding with people. When they're signed up first, we sit down for 2 hours and we literally flesh out and go through everything that's in the business. So the more understanding I have, the more I'm able to offer. And the first thing that I do is I'm a big fan of niching markets. So lots of businesses will thrive in niches. And niches, there's an old saying in business that there's riches in the niches. And it's true, because niching some form of market or audience is going to give you an ability to serve that community better. And I'm a believer in the more impact you have, the more income you'll make. And that's, I'm living testament to that. The people I'm working with are living testament to that, that if you're able to serve better than everybody else and you're able to have more impact and help them and become that person that they go to, you're going to earn a ridiculous living from that. Because when people think of that niche, they think of you. And I use my GA audience as a good example here, even though I work a lot with people that are general fitness as well, coming through my BKF online program, and it's about 50-50. But that GA audience, that GA lean body program that I have, was very much capturing a niche and serving an audience, because I was that avatar. I was the reason that program flew and did so well so quickly and continuously does so well and people get incredible results, is because I was that avatar. I knew exactly who I'm speaking to and how to create that program and how to serve the check-ins, because it was me. It was the 23-year-old me that I created that program for. The person that was looking to improve their performance on the pitch, get stronger, but also build muscle and have a six-pack and be leaner so that you look better on a Saturday night. So it was so easy to create that program because I was creating it for me. And then I just made different variations. There's about 40 different variations of that program depending on each person's goals. And then we tailor it and check and alter it as we go along during the first 8 weeks during the check-ins. So the first thing I'll ask anybody that's in fitness or in any business is, who's your audience and where is their attention? So when you know who your avatar is and you know who you're trying to serve, it is ridiculously easier to create content and serve that audience. I spoke with one of my mentee clients recently. She was on her Skype call last week, and she's working with a very, very niche injured audience, so lower back issues. And one of the things that I told her was, you know exactly who you're speaking to. When you have your avatar, you can create content around those. And this is particularly important if you're trying to move online, because you need to utilize things like social media, Facebook ads, Instagram influencers, the things that put your product or service in the eyes of the people who can potentially buy from you. So what I would advise here is, when you know who your avatar is, and when I say avatar, I have my GA avatar, my Gary, who's 23 years old, who plays, you know, wing forward with his club, wants to be the best player on that team, get a little bit stronger, put on some muscle, and wants to look good on a Saturday night. I know who that avatar is. My BKF online program has two avatars. I've got Joe, who is 29 years old, who goes out at the weekends but wants to look really, really good and doesn't really care about performance that much, but just wants to have good energy levels, wants to sleep better, wants to perform better at work, and wants to look a lot leaner on nights out. And then I've got Jane, who is 30 years old, who basically wants to look good in a dress, drop a couple of dress sizes, has a flat stomach, and feels really confident when she walks into a room and feels like she can speak to any guy or anyone of the opposite sex or same sex if that's the way she's inclined, and she feels confident doing so. I have those avatars in mind. Now, you serve people outside of that. I've got ranges of people coming through both those programs, but when you know who your general avatar is and you know who the person you're trying to speak to is, you can create content and serve them better. You can create programs and serve them better. You can create services and serve them better, because you know exactly what their problems are, you know what their pain points are, and then you're the person that's able to provide the value that helps serve them. One of the things that I try and get into people's heads that I work with, particularly either on consultations, but more so in my mentorship programs, because it's very one-to-one with people and I'm able to dive into their business, is understanding that business is a win-win. When you're able to provide value and you become the person that can help the most people, you're going to earn the most money from that, because you're finding what the pain point is and then you're fixing that problem. I know myself, anytime I have a problem with something, I am more than happy to hand over money to get that problem fixed. And I'm happy, and then the person that solves that problem is happy. It's a win-win all around if you're the best person in that industry and you're the best person to serve the people that you're working with. So what I would advise is, when you're creating your avatar, who it is that you're trying to serve, you will talk to people outside of that, and you'll have programs and services and content that you create that may be outside of that audience or outside of that avatar, but you at least know who you're speaking to generally. I'm speaking to Gary, I'm speaking to Joe, I'm speaking to Jane. They're my avatars. So when I write a blog post or I create a podcast or I have some form of program or service that I'm creating, or I'm doing a live event, I know exactly what kind of problems and pain points those people have. The GA audience was serving myself at 23. I was always frustrated that strength and conditioning coaches would tell me that it doesn't matter how you look, this is how you get faster, this is how you get stronger. And then I would talk to personal trainers and they'd say, well, this is how you get bigger chest, this is how you build your back, this is how you get abs. But they couldn't tell me how to improve my performance. So I merged both of those. I have a strength and conditioning background, personal training background, and again, competing as a bodybuilder and having played GA most of my life, I was able to merge and combine those best of both worlds. And that allowed me to serve that audience. The pain point was my pain point at 23. I used to get so frustrated when I would talk to strength and conditioning coaches and they'd be like, it doesn't matter. You don't need that. You don't need abs. They don't make any stronger, any better. Or I would talk to a trainer and they'd be like, well, here, this is how you fix your nutrition. This is how you get abs. This is how you build your chest, but it may make you slower on the pitch. And that's what would happen. So I was able to serve that pain point, and anybody that's in that avatar, anybody that's in that demographic where they're like, well, I do want to be stronger, I want to improve my performance, I want to be the best player on my club or one of the best players on my club, potentially push for county or just be one of the best players that I'm consistently on the starting 15, but I also want to look really good at the weekend so that I can pull, or that I just feel more confident. That's the people that I'm speaking to, the guys and girls in that area, particularly the guys, but I also work with a lot of females for ladies footballers and camogie players. This is understanding your audience and then serving that audience. When you know that, you're going to make significantly more money. And I'm going to use that as a term of reference, because in business, earning money is a little bit of a success metric. It's by no means the biggest thing, and I'm impact over income all the time, but it's a funny thing happens when you have more impact, you get significantly more income. So it's a success metric for a lot of people, because when you tell somebody that, well, this is how you get your business from 25 grand a year to 50 grand a year, or 50 grand a year to 100 grand a year, these are the steps you need to do. People normally use that in business as a success metric. And it is a pretty good metric to use, because at the end of the day, if you're not making money, you're not going to be able to help anybody, because you're going to go out of business and have to go back to a normal job. So first question, who is your audience? And then where is their attention? Where are they focused? This is so important, because when you know who your avatar is, you know where their attention is. I'm working right now with a girl who works with a lot of elderly people in their 60s plus in lower impact classes. Me and her have put together a strategy to figure out where their focus and attention is. It's very easy to serve somebody that is in the teenage demographic. If you're working with people who are 15, 16, 17, and they are your primary avatar, you need to be on Snapchat. That's where they're spending all of their time, because the majority of people on Snapchat are in that age demographic. If you're speaking to people who are in their 23, 24, to up to 31, you need to be on Instagram, because that's where those people are spending most of their time. 30 to 40, they're on Facebook. So Facebook ads, utilizing Facebook ads. If you've got people who are commuters, 9 to 5, if you're driving to or from work and you're listening to this now, you're probably in my avatar, because you're listening to a podcast, probably on a drive, probably during your workout, or in a commute where you're doing something else, you're washing the dishes or prepping your food and you're listening to this podcast. I know that's where your attention is. When you know where people's attention is, you can help serve them better in that community. The lower impact people that we're speaking to now, they're not on social media as much. They're looking at billboards. They're looking at service boards in Super Value or Tesco or Dunnes or wherever they're doing their shopping, their attention is in a different place. So it's very important to understand when you know who your avatar is, you can see where they're focused, because the first thing you need to do before you do anything is figure out where people's attention are, then put and provide value in front of them, and then you could potentially sell them on the back end if they decide they want to work with you or you decide you want to work with them. In some cases, when you get to a point where you have a waiting list, you can decide who you work with. In the beginning, you work with most people, but you need to know where their attention is, because if you don't, you can't provide any value to them. And if you can't provide value to them, they're not going to know who you are. And if they don't know who you are, they're never going to buy from you. So number one, who's your avatar? Who's your audience? And then number two, where is their attention? And make sure that you get your content or your programs or your services in front of them. Which brings me to my next point. Provide value. This is something that you probably heard me ring off time and time again on Instagram lives or on different Q&As that I've done when it's been business related, and that's provide value. When you understand and make the shift that people don't buy things off price, they buy them off value, or they buy them off perceived value, you can make a massive shift in your entire business, because you know that when you're providing more value, you're the best at what you're doing, you're going to get more income as a result. So this is twofold. One of the pieces of advice that I generally offer on the podcast is never buy anything off price, always buy it off value. When you're buying something, ask yourself, am I going to get this amount of value? If I'm spending €650 a month on a service or on a product, am I going to get that amount of value? If I spend €200 on this program, am I going to get that amount of value? Is it going to save me that amount of time? Is it going to cut my learning curve by this amount? If the answer is yes, then it's a no-brainer. It's the figurative, put in €1, get back two. And when you're distinguish and change your mindset from spending or buying something on price to buying it on value, it changes everything in your life, because you tend to level up. And then you put that back to your clients. When you're working with people, the more value you provide, the more you can charge and the more you'll make and the less you'll work. I'm a big believer, and this is my philosophy, of work less and earn more. And it kind of goes against the traditional grain of grind as a personal trainer. And you should, by all means, you will grind as a fitness, someone in the fitness industry or in business in general. You need to put that grind in up front. But there's also an argument for providing more value and serving the people that you're working with right now, charging a higher price and working significantly less. I'm a believer in charging a higher price and make sure you're providing more value. And when you do that up front, you can work with less people, which allows you to focus more on the people you are working with and provide a better service to them. So one of the trains of thought of provide value is, one, understanding the shift and difference from buying something off value versus buying something off the price. Number two is, when you make the shift from providing more value in the service or the product that you have, you can charge a higher price, and it means you can work less and provide more value to that person you are working with. And then the third is providing value up front, so that you're not selling people all the time. People buy from people who they like, know, and trust. And if you're always selling, and this is something that I see on social media, and social media is particularly bad for this, particularly Instagram and Facebook, where people are always selling you. They're always selling you into their new program. They're always selling you onto their new one-to-one structure. They're always selling you on something without providing any value up front. Gary Vaynerchuk, who runs a multi-million dollar VaynerMedia in New York, has a great theory on jab, 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 right hook, which basically means value, 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 sell. It's where you provide value up front 2, 3, 4, 5, 10 times, and then you ask, and then you provide or pitch the sell. So it's content, here's value for you. Content, here's value for you. Here's a blog post. Here's a podcast. Here's a piece of mindset that I think will help support you on your journey. And then a week later, a month later, 6 months later, here's a program. Do you want to sign up? If you want to work with me, here's the program that you work with. That is a big mistake that a lot of personal trainers in particular make. They're constantly selling on their social media. They're constantly selling in the gym, and they're not providing that value up front. the biggest shift you can make in your business right now is to shift from a mindset of selling constantly to a mindset of providing value. Zig Ziglar said that if you help people get what they want, you will get everything you want. And it can be contradictory to a lot of people that when you put out a lot of free content, and I'm going to use the online space as an example now, because one of the things that comes back to me regularly is you put out so much content for free, videos, podcasts, blogs, how do you make money on the back end? And it's actually the complete reverse. The more value you end up putting out to people, you show them that you're the person that can help them, and then they end up buying into you, and then you get to work with them, transform them, then you have a testimony or a referral, and then you build your business off the back of that. What generally happens, and I'll use myself because you're your own best example so you can get a little bit of an insight to how my business works, is I do a lot of content marketing where I'm constantly putting out content, either blog posts or podcasts or videos that are helping people. I'm asking or answering questions directly that have either been sent in to me that I can help people directly. And normally when one person has a question, there's another 10 people thinking it. And in my case, probably 1,000 people thinking it just because of the scale of the amount of people that are following. And I know that I'm able to provide value up front. This works two ways. My number one goal has always been to leave the world better and make it a better place because I was here. I want to help and serve as many people as I can because that's what was given to me. The back end of that means you can build a very successful business on it because you're helping people like, know, and trust with you, and then they buy into you. And what happens is when you're putting that content out there, you're triggering something in somebody that makes them think, oh, okay, this is the person that helped me with my pain point. This is the person that helped me with my business. This is the person that helped me with my fitness. This is the person that can help move me to the next level in whatever area of my life that I need to move forward. For me, it's either business or fitness or performance. And what happens is they end up buying into you. You end up working with them on a program. And as a result, you either have a before and after or a testimony or a referral. I have a ridiculous amount of referrals on my business where I work with people, and either on my BKF online program or my GEA program, where people are like, yeah, I'm working with Brian, when they see their teammates see their transformation or their friends at work see their transformation. And I get a load of referrals off the back end on that. That is a really good way to build back end leads for any business. And leads, for those unfamiliar, are just people that are inquiring about your service or about your product. And referrals are a very, very powerful way of doing that. But you get referrals by putting your client number one, which is next. So one of the mistakes a lot of people make in business, in fitness, in one-to-one training, in online, is finding that balance between serving your current clients and getting new ones. And this is a mistake I regularly see with one-to-one personal trainers, where they'll spend so much time acquiring a new client, and then as soon as they have them, they kind of take them for granted, and they're searching for the next person that's going to, you know, pay them the next batch of 500 euro or the next batch of 600 euro or whatever the package is that's designed. That's another thing that every personal trainer should consider doing. You should never sell one-to-one sessions by the hour. You should sell them by the package because you can provide more value. You can charge a higher price and you can provide a higher amount of service to that person. And you can lock them in for a series, a certain amount of time, which means they'll get better results, which means they will have a better end product, which means you'll end up building more referrals on the back end, which is just a side note. But one of the mistakes that I see is people focusing on constantly generating new leads or bringing in new people into their ecosystem or getting new clients and not focusing on their old clients. If you make this one mindset shift that I'm about to share with you, you could scale your business by 10x in the next year, 18 months. And that's focusing on your current clients. This is particularly if you're in the fitness industry, working as a one-to-one trainer or working in online or doing a combination of both. If you're working one-to-one with people and you look after the 5, 6, 7, 10, 15 clients that you currently have, they're the people that are going to bring more leads into your ecosystem. They are the best people to build and scale your business because they're walking business cards. I spoke in a blog post recently about the biggest mistakes that personal trainers make at the beginning, and this is going out and getting things like business cards and getting things like t-shirts and logos and all this fucking shit before you have any clients. You can't build a business and spending money on things. I'm a big believer in a small leak will sink a big ship. And this is very, very true in the beginning. If you're spending money on stupid stuff like business cards and logos when you have no clients, that is a waste of time. make sure, and you're using it in a lot of cases as an excuse not to do the things that are really important. If you really get honest with yourself, because you're scared of what people will think, you're scared of what, you know, that you may fail, the fear of success, fear of failure, whatever it is, this story is manifesting itself into you getting business cards and getting logos and spending time on that, because that's not real work. It makes you feel like you're doing something, and it makes you feel like you're busy, but you're not being productive. And there's a big difference between being busy and being productive. And when you make that switch into serving your current clients, they walk around as your business cards. When you're able to transform people, particularly fitness, because of the physical transformation that people have, you're going to have people in their ecosystem and around their life asking them how they transformed. How do they look this way? And then they're going to use you as a referral. And then you're going to build a business off the back of that. I remember when I was working one-to-one, one of the things that I did initially, and I still have a lot of my clients that are that I'm working with in my mentorship program right now do, is try and take control of your clients' fitness thoughts completely. So their training program. So when they're with you once, twice, three times a week, you do a training session with them that's unique to them. You also have a training program designed for them that they can do on days they're not with you. You also take control of their nutrition, and then you check in with them during the one-to-ones to make sure that they're able to stay on track with that. What happens when you take control of someone's fitness regimen and you take control of their training and their nutrition and their supplements? One, it reduces their stress and cortisol, so they can focus on other things in their life, which will make them happier in general and will probably get them more progress as a result. But also it means that you're controlling the controllable of the things that may be setting them backwards. So when you take control of their nutrition and you tailor it with them and you educate yourself on the, you know, Mary really struggles with chocolate issues. She's constant cravings for chocolate. Okay, maybe we'll cut out diet drinks and protein bars and any polyalcohols for a while and see if that's what's causing her cravings. Or we'll supplement back into magnesium and see if she's deficient in magnesium and that's why she's craving chocolate. Or you've got John who really struggles and he goes for pints every weekend and then has a takeaway that night and again the following day. Right, we build in different drinks or we factor it into his calories and we bank his calories for weekends and we reduce them a couple of days before. We do the hardest training sessions, we elevate his metabolism, and then we factor that in for his free meal. These are things that you can do as a personal trainer that tailors it to each person and gets them better results. And when you get your clients the best results that they can get, you're going to build so many people coming in off the back of that through the referrals of people asking them, who are you working with? Or people in the gym that see them on week one and then they see them on week eight and they look like a different person. That's what you can do. And when you focus on your clients as number one, you're going to get back in leads off the back of it. And also what happens in this beautiful positive feedback loop of you're working with your one-to-one clients, they're getting amazing results, they're sending referrals, or people in the gym see that they're getting amazing results, then they ask you, you know, how much is it you charge, what's your service, and you end up building a waiting list. And when you have a waiting list, you increase your price. It's supply and demand, it's economics 101, and you consistently repeat and rinse and repeat that cycle. I started personal training one-to-one with people at €20. I was up to €100 an hour when I left personal training a year later. That was supply and demand. There was people coming in on the back end. I had a waiting list and I was able to consistently increase my price until I got up to €100 an hour when I left one-to-one personal training. And that is what it allows you to do. You may not get up to that price, but if you're at 25 now and you've got a waiting list of 2-3 people, it means you can go up to €30 an hour for the next batch, or you increase your package price. So you're 500 for 10 sessions, or for 20 sessions, you now go up to 600. You can increase that. It's basic supply and demand. And if you have a waiting list right now, your price is too low. So you, two things happen when you do that. One, you end up bringing in people who are willing to transfer or exchange that amount of money, which means they're pretty serious about their transformation. I knew when I was getting people for €100 an hour on my packages, that they were serious about transforming their body, because that's a lot of money to hand over. Now I had that built as a package. So there was a nutritional strategy with it, a training program with it, and a check-in system with it. But it allowed them to get amazing results. And as a result, what happens with people is psychologically, when we spend a little bit more on something, we tend to attach a little bit of a higher priority to it. And I know myself that when I go to a seminar that's cost $8,000-$9,000, something like Tony Robbins, I'm taking fucking notes and taking notes of everything he said because I've dropped so much money on it. Whereas if I go to something that's cost me €50, I don't really take as many notes, even though the value may be very, very good at it. It's a psychological tendency that we all have. It's the same as if you bought a dress or you bought a t-shirt or you bought something that cost you €200 or €300. You're wearing it out on nights out that are important to you. Some guy or girl you know is going to be there. You want to wear your most expensive or your nicest dress or your best pair of shoes, because you've attached that value and you hold it at a higher priority in your life, and you think that it's something that holds basically just a little bit higher value to you personally. And that's how services are as well. If you end up spending more money on a personal training session, or you end up spending more money on a service, on an online program, you tend to do it a little bit better than if you got it for free, or that if you got it at a very, very cheap or discounted price. So that's just a little bit of a side note as well, that that's the way people are. And when you can build your business off that, everybody wins, because you end up making a little bit more money, which means you can provide a better service because you're working with less people. And when you're working with less people, the higher service that you can provide, the better results they'll get. And then you get this positive feedback loop off the back of it. So that's the next point, is focus on your current clients and you will get other clients off the back of using them as walking billboards, particularly in the fitness industry. So the next one is understanding how it is that you want your business to work. And one of the first questions I do with people in my mentorship program is I ask them what I want their perfect day to look like. And then I ask them what I want their first 6 months, which is the duration of the mentorship, first 6 months, 12 months and 18 months to look like. Because you can't hit a target you can't see. And when you understand how you want your perfect day to look and how you want to work, and then you know what you're working towards in the next 6 months, the next 12 months, the next 18 months, it makes it significantly easier to reverse engineer and work backwards from that. So understanding your perfect day, and this is something that regardless of whether you're in fitness, in business, just in life in general, to understand what you want your perfect day to look like can really give you a fighting chance in working towards it. And we have, and I've spoken in the podcast in the past, the reticular activation system in our brain, our brain's internal GPS, the part of our brain that tells us what to focus on. It's the analogy I normally use is when you walk into a room and you see somebody with the same t-shirt as you, or you see somebody with the same dress as you, and there's 100 other people in the room, but that's the first person you notice. That's your reticular activation system telling you what to focus on. It's telling you to focus on that because you have the same dress or t-shirt at home in your cupboard. That's how powerful that system is. There's other belief systems of the law of attraction or the power of intention, that you'll bring whatever energy you put out, you'll bring it back in. It doesn't matter what your belief system is. As long as you understand that what you focus on and give energy to is normally what manifests in the physical world. And when you know what your perfect day is and you know how you want that to look, you can reverse engineer it back. I've got one of my clients at the minute, one of my mentees, working in the morning because he hates working evening times. He loves getting up at 5 a.m., taking 5, 6, 7 clients on the back, and then having most of his day done by 2 or 3 p.m., and then he can just relax and chill. So his perfect day right now, we're about a month in, is looking at not bringing in anybody else to work in the evening sessions. Because as personal trainers, and I'll use that as a example, sometimes your day can look like a 5 a.m., 6 a.m., 7 a.m., nobody until 1 p.m., then 1 or 2 sessions at lunchtime, and then another 2 or 3 hour break, and then the evening rush of 5, 6, and 7 p.m. And by all means, at the beginning of your journey, that's probably how it'll look, and there's not much way around it. But when you get to the point where you have a lot of clients and you have a lot of people coming into your ecosystem, and you have a bit of a waiting list, or you have people that want to work with you, you can kind of choose what time you work. And my client's perfect day right now is to be working in the morning and to be finished most of the days by 2 or 3 a.m. He goes, he doesn't mind getting up at 4:30 or 5 a.m. every morning, but he wants to be done by 2 or 3. So we started reverse engineering that back. So now every time somebody comes and inquires with him, he gives them the time that he's free from 5 a.m. to 2 p.m. and then that's it. And what happens with a lot of people is they tend to fall into the way that you want to work. And if they don't, like normally refers like, and you'll end up building a base of people that that's their training times. And you end up overlapping and you're in the gym at that time and people see that you're there every morning from 5 a.m. to 2 p.m. And they're the people that are your foot traffic. They're the people you're engaging with. And then they're more likely going to interact with you because they know you're in the gyms at that time. That's how that manifests itself in the physical world after you decide what you want. So understanding what your perfect day looks like and then reverse engineering that back. And then doing the same thing for 6 months, doing the same thing for 12 months, doing the same thing for 18 months. So if you're working one-to-one right now and you want another income stream online, is that realistic over a 6 month period? We spoke about this briefly on episode 151 with Paul Germody, that because he came through my mentorship program, he said to me in January, look, I'm thinking of going away for Spain for 3 or 4 months. Do you think it's realistic to move the business online? I said, yeah, but it'll probably take about 6 months. And then we put the steps in place to do that. So building up social media, having back channel funnels, having lead magnets to drive people into your ecosystem, showing people that this is where you're going to be at this amount of time and this is the package you're providing. These are all things that we did over a 3, 4, 5, 6 month period before he went away. And now he's got a full client roster online and he's working from a beach in Barcelona. And that's what happens when you have enough time and you put the right steps in place in order to do that. Not everybody can do that. He was in the position that he was able to do it. And I was also in a position that if it was unrealistic, I would have said, look, it's going to take you 12 months. It's going to take you 18 months to do that. But in his case, it wasn't. It was only going to take about 6 months and we had it set up in 5 and he was gone by the 6th month. And that's something you can do, but you have to understand the target you're trying to hit, because if you're just working aimlessly and random work and random thoughts would produce random results. And when you're able to work backwards from whatever your end goal is, you can achieve whatever you want in business, provided that you're providing enough value to people and you're serving your niche or you're serving your market and you're becoming that person that can help them the most. It's just reverse engineering backwards then. So ask yourself the question, what does my perfect day look like? And then start putting plans in place to work around that. What does my 6 months look like? Where do I want to be in 6 months? Where do I want to be in 12 months? Where do I want to be in 18 months? When you start asking those questions, and you're, or particularly if you're working with somebody or you're in an environment where you're going to a lot of business seminars or you're working directly with somebody or you're fortunate enough to be in the company of somebody who's done something similar to what you want to do, you know, B1, C1, as long as there's somebody on in the world that has done what you want to do, you literally just pick their brains on what they did. You get consultations with them, you work with them, you go to their seminars, you read their books, and you basically just copy what they did and you model what they've done. There's no new problem out there. It's out there. It's just been written down. You just have to go out there and find it. So I would advise or offer asking yourself, perfect day, 6 months, 12 months, 18 months. What do you want them to look like? Where do you want to be? And then start working backwards from it. And then the last one that's going to hopefully wrap this entire episode together is serve. The end of the day, and this is something that I will use myself because you're your own best example. I've been very fortunate over the last 18 months, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years. So fortunate to have grown my business to where it's at, where to a position where I don't really have to worry about money anymore. I get to work with people I want to work with and I get to help so many people, thousands of people each year coming through my programs. And it's what I would do for free. And I'm very, very grateful and very fortunate to be in that position. But it comes from a place of service and realizing that it's not about you. It's about your customer. It's about your client. It's about the people you're working with. And that's the number one thing. The people that are following you, the people that you're working with, it's about them and how can you help them and how can you help serve them? How can you support them with their problems or their pain? When you make that shift from, right, I need to get their money, or I need to make more money, or you start making decisions out of money, you start making bad decisions. And that's just a mindset shift. And this is one of the reasons that I record and vet people that I work with on the mentorship, because that's a very, very difficult characteristic to knock out of people. And you generally don't do it over a week or a month. It normally takes several months to change somebody from money, and I need to earn more to how can I serve more? How can I provide more value? How can I make the world better because I was here? Because when you work for impact over income, you have more income and you'll have more impact. And the last thing that I want to leave today's episode on is regardless of whether you're in the fitness industry, regardless of whether you're a one-to-one personal trainer, regardless of whether you're running your own business or wanting to start a side hustle, it all comes from a place of service. And when you're able to serve a community, whether that's a niche or a mass market, and you're able to provide the most value, regardless of how you do that, whether it's through blog posts, through podcasts, through videos, through your service or your product, regardless of how that looks, when you help more people, you're going to make more money and you're going to have a better business as a result. And as a result, you have this beautiful positive feedback loop of being comfortable and secure and not worrying about money. And again, some of this comes down to auditing your personal life and not spending money on dumb shit. This is one of these pet peeves that I have. And when you spend money on stupid external things like, you know, the expensive car or the new house or the jacket, when you're trying to get your business off the ground, stop spending money on stupid shit and start spending it on things that are going to grow you as a person or grow you as a business. This is one of the biggest pet peeves I have with people, is when somebody tells me, oh, that program or that product or that seminar or whatever it is too expensive, but they drop 200 euro at the weekend on a night out. By all means, that downtime is important and that escapism is important to a certain degree. But don't fool yourself and you're the easiest person to fool. Don't spend 100 or 200 euro every weekend going out, getting drunk and having nothing in return from it every night for 3 months in a row, or every Saturday night for 3 months in a row, and then complain about not having money to better yourself or improve your business. That is fooling yourself and you're the easiest person to fool. And when you understand the difference between spending money or buying something on price versus buying it on value. And I always use nights out as an example, and I'm speaking to myself here because I fucking wasted so much money on nights out trying to escape from an unhappy life when I wasn't doing what I wanted to do and I didn't have my ladder up against the right wall. So a lot of this is just coming back on me. But I would spend my money on things like nights out. I would spend my money on things like nice clothes or a new car, thinking that all these external things would make me happy. And I'm filling a void that is an empty pit that you never fill. And when you start asking those questions on why am I filling the void on this external, thinking this external thing will make me happy, and it does, by all means, it makes you happy temporarily. You get the dopamine hit from buying something nice or going out shopping or, you know, whatever it is that you've spent your money on. You'll get that dopamine hit. But you end up getting the hedonic adaptation where you go back to feeling the same way as you felt and wondering why you don't feel any different, even though you now have the car, you now have the house, you now have the jacket, you now have the bag that you wanted, realizing that it's an external thing that doesn't change your happiness long term. The hedonic adaptation, the example that I normally use is that of a sunset. The reason we take a sunset for granted is because it comes up every day and we see it and it's a hedonic adaptation. Whereas if that happened only once every 18 years, we'd probably all stay up and watch it. And that's kind of how running a business can be. When you're spending money on the stupid stuff, like I mentioned earlier, the business cards, the logos, the t-shirts, the clothing, without having any clients, that is normally filling a gap for being busy versus being productive. You want to be able to tell people, oh, I'm a personal trainer, that, oh, look, I have a t-shirt, and all your friends think, oh, it's cool, Johnny or Brian or Jack or Laura are doing their thing. They're out doing personal training. They've got their, look at their t-shirts, look at their car, it's got their logo on it, and they've no clients. And again, I did this. It's one of the mistakes that I made. And some of you read my blog, and some of you have heard me speak on it in the past. I made all those mistakes. Your mess becomes your message. And I've made probably every fucking mistake you can make. I did the going out and spending money on all these stupid things before I had clients. I ended up buying or renting a gym in London that I couldn't afford to rent because I didn't have enough clients. I went broke three times trying to get my business off the ground. I made all these mistakes. I've gone and spent money on all these external things that I thought would make me happy. I put my external happiness into, you know, well, I'll be happy when I make this much money. I'll be happy when I do this, not realizing that as soon as I hit those figures, that numbers never end and you're always moving forward. And that if you're not happy internally, you're not going to be happy by filling it with something externally. And these are all the mistakes I've made myself. It's why I share them on the podcast. One of the reasons that I record all the podcasts in private is because I'm just speaking and I'm just basically thinking out loud. And I know your mess becomes your message. That's why I share it. But understand that in order to run a successful business, There's not that many things you need to do, but there are a few things that you need to do well. You need to know who your audience is, and you need to know where their attention is. You need to be able to provide value to them and serve them in some way, shape, or form and become the best person for them. You need to make sure that you keep the clients that you have as number one, because they are priority and they'll feed back into you. You need to know what your perfect day looks like. You need to know what you're going to be in 6 months, or what you want to achieve in the next 12 months or the next 18 months. And it needs to come from a place of service, because when it comes from that place and you come from a place of how can I help, I promise you that one change can scale your business 10x over the next 12 months, 18 months, because it doesn't become about you anymore. It becomes about them. It becomes about your clients. It becomes about the people who are buying your product. How can you help them and how can you serve them? So on today's episode, I will leave you with that. Again, a little bit of a different change of direction for today's episode, just because this has been coming in a lot on my social media recently, just with obviously tagging people in my mentorship program, a couple of the things I've been putting on my stories and a few of the blogs I've written. I've had a lot of questions on running a business, running a personal training business, running a fitness business come in. So I wanted to do a podcast, just because this will only be the fifth on the business podcast that I've done. And if you got value in this one and you haven't listened to part one and part two of Instagram competition winner, or the business episode, or life skills for running a successful business with Paul Germody, I will link those four episodes in the show notes as well. So if you're a personal trainer or considering moving online or working in the fitness industry in general, 100% go and listen to those episodes, and hopefully they provide you with a lot of value as well. So that's the end of today's episode. A massive thank you for listening, and I'll catch you all next week.